young people, older people who have decided to make this church their home. And we're also going to hear of others who are going to be following the Lord in the waters of baptism tonight. We take baptism by immersion and church membership very seriously here at this church. We believe that it is the biblical model and pattern. And so we want to welcome you to this special service, a special welcome to family and friends, other people from other churches, and a very, very special welcome to Pastor Gord Bellier from Bowmanville Baptist Church, a dear friend and colleague in the faith and in ministry. And I'm going to ask him if he wouldn't mind coming up here tonight and just reading from Romans chapter 6, verse 1 to 14 as part of our scripture reading tonight. You can read from your scriptures there. Thank you so much, Gord. I just never asked him at the beginning, so he's just doing this on the spot. Thank you, Gord.
That's in the New Testament, I take it. Apostle Paul wrote in the letter to the Galatians, "See, with what a large letter I write with you, mine own hand." Afraid I've only got my visitation Bible, so it's a small letter, but still a very great word. As we hear from our God, as He writes through the Spirit, inspires the Apostle to write Romans 6, beginning at the first verse. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together with Him, planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in our mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then, shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, that ye obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." I'm not quite sure where Pastor Jacques asked me to finish, but that seems to be a good place. May God add His blessing to this word.
It is a real privilege to be able to hear the testimonies of those people in our midst that God has touched. God works in mysterious ways in the lives of men and women, young people. He doesn't save us exactly the same way. He works mysteriously through circumstances. You're going to hear all kinds of different circumstances tonight. We have four people that are going to be baptized tonight, and they're going to be the first four that are going to be sharing their testimonies. I'm going to ask first Cody Osborne to come and share how the Lord saved him.
All right, bear with me. Good evening, everybody. My name is Cody Osborne. I am 19 years old. And how I became saved in Jesus Christ was in high school. I was led to a church, but I'll start from the beginning. Growing up was difficult for me. My parents split up when I was in grade school. I was also being abused verbally, emotionally, and physically. This hurt me a lot, and I did not know what to do. I couldn't talk to anybody, and in high school was even harder for many reasons. Situations at home did not make anything easier for me. I was pressured into smoking, swearing, and hanging out with the bad crowds. In grade 10, I was pressured into sex. and I knew my life was so wrong even before I met God. I got involved in relationships for status. I was looking for love in all the wrong places. One of my good friend, or my friend, told me about a group called Impact at our school, Donovan, that I went to at the time. Over the lunch hour, some Christian adults would come in to teach students about God. There was free pizza, so I definitely went because of that. But week after week, I became more and more interested in the messages, and I started having these questions in my head, like, who is God? Who is the Savior, Jesus? I asked questions about who God was at the time, and I started getting weird feelings about the way I was living my life. I still didn't have anybody to look up to at the time. My family was into drugs and alcohol, and at school and at home, I had felt left out. I had realized that the drugs, the partying, the swearing, and all the negativity that was around me, the swearing and the negativity was not me, nor who I wanted to be. I wanted to turn away from it all, but my family and my friends were always pressuring me as I started saying no to it all. I started losing friends. Now I felt rejected by everybody. Going to Impact every Wednesday was the only hope I had. I started coming out to a youth group at a local church with a friend. I began making Christian friends, but I still was not saved yet. I gained hope, learning more about God, worship, and prayer. Week after week, the youth director would ask if anyone wanted to accept Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Finally, one day, I was convicted, and I accepted Jesus Christ into my life. When I got home that night, I cried out to God, and I asked for His forgiveness. The next morning, I thought hard about the truth that Jesus died on the cross and paid for all the transgressions and all of my sins. I prayed more and more about what my youth director had said that night, and I was led to read Matthew as my first book. I began having an urge for God, reading more of the Word and praying much more. I came to understand that I was saved by Jesus Christ, and I was bought at a price, as it says in 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you were bought at a price, therefore honor God with your bodies. On October 10th, I surrendered my life to the Lord. On November 9th, 2009, 3:30 a.m. in the morning, the phone rang. My mom had come down the stairs in tears and told my brother what had happened. My brother started crying. My heart started pounding. I didn't know what to expect. Finally, my mom came to me and said, "Your aunt just called from Mississauga, your dad's sister." "Honey, your dad just died." "Sweetie, I'm sorry for this." My heart broke and time stood still. I didn't know what to say or do. I didn't have any close friends to talk to. I was very angry. My dad was my everything to me. My dad lived in Mississauga, so I mostly spoke to him over the phone. Realizing that I lost my dad, God took that away from me and gave me so much more out of that. He gave me hope, a father that will never leave me, and that is God. And I am so thankful for what God has taught me and how strong He has made me. Only He made me strong. Through the week, I am able to say that now because God has taught me humbleness. Before, I could have never said that at all, because my dad was just an absolute everything to me. But I'll go on. I was able to share the gospel with my father before he had passed. My dad was an alcoholic. There was a lot of pain and hurt in his life, but I prayed that he would come to the Lord. He always asked me questions about God and how he could come to know him and be saved. I was still such a young Christian at the time, sharing my faith with my dad. But I believed, and I will only know if my father is in heaven when I get there. I think of him every day and every night. The last words that he spoke to me were, Son, I want you to know how much I love you. I love you to the moon and stars and back. And the last words he ultimately said to me over the phone was, remember to never give up on anything. I believe that God was teaching me to depend on him through all of this. The only things that I really got me through my father's death was God and my girlfriend Kathleen. The truth of Jesus helped me through that time. God really had his hand over my life. And my girlfriend Kathleen had really helped me get through this. And I believe it was God's plan for her to help me, encourage me through my father's past, and as well as it was God's plan for me to be here and that he could help me and bring Pastor Jacques and Nathan and Kevin and everybody, the congregation, to help me through this and just even my life in the future as well. Where am I here? My father's past, and as well as other things in my life, I am very thankful for what God has done in my life. God gave me a new life in him. I am choosing to be baptized tonight to renew my covenant with God. I was baptized before, but for the wrong reasons. I did not know and I did not understand baptism at the time. I did read about it, but I didn't really know. Nobody really taught me really well about it. And praying before the time I came here, I'm trying to understand what baptism was and meeting with Pastor Jacques and Kevin and Nathan about it and talking and even learning in campus church really taught me a lot about baptism, just the truth, the absolute truth of Jesus Christ and even him dying on the cross and taking that into my heart and really believing in that day and night. And so that is why I am renewing my covenant with God in baptism tonight. I would want to become a member of NFBC because I have been convicted of the messages that Pastor Jacques has spoke about. And they have been really truthful to me. I can tell that God is moving in this church, and I want to be a part of it as well. This is my testimony, but I would like to encourage you with this. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. This is a command that we must follow all of our days, especially as leaders and ambassadors of Christ. And that is my testimony.
Praise God for that. I'm going to ask Megan Tandori if she would come and share her testimony tonight.
Hello, my name is Megan Tandori, and I am most glad to say that today I will be getting baptized. I am the oldest child to Daniela and Roger Tandori, and a sibling to Katie and Nathan Tandori. Before I get baptized, I would like to share two things. How I became a Christian and what baptism means to me. I became a Christian a year before I came to this church. I started at a vacation Bible school at Calvary Baptist Church. There, the lady who organized all the activities started talking about coming to know the Lord. As I listened to it, it all seemed so bizarre, but then she started talking about sins. At first, I didn't want to believe it, but I started thinking about it and remembered, stealing gum from my mom's purse, not doing my homework when my parents told me to, getting in fights with my sister and brother and calling them rude names, and the list could go on forever. But just thinking about these sins made me feel uncomfortable and ashamed. So after the lady was done talking, I went to her and asked if I could come to know the Lord. Then we talked and prayed about this. After that, I was most glad to say I became a Christian. A while later, I asked my dad if I could be baptized.
I'll finish for Megan. Incidentally, it's... I didn't know that she went to that Megan went to that had this experience at Vacation Bible School, but it stuck with her for obviously a year and a half. We've had devotionals at home, and she's had the blessing of church. But I think it's something that she really something affected her, and I didn't even know about it until she started one day. Feeling a bit emotional, and I thought maybe she's just a young girl and maybe she's depressed about something, but I went in her room and we talked about what was on her mind, and that time at VBS obviously really shook her up, and she understood enough about sin and what Jesus did, and so she talked to me about it, and I explained to her again, because I'm always, careful that, it's not emotion that causes a person to make a life decision. I was proud of her that a year and a half later, this is still on her mind, and so we walked through what sin is and what Christ did for us, and that he died on the cross to take away her sins and rose from the dead so that she would never die. And I asked her if she believed this, truly believed it, and she said she did believe. Okay. What baptism means to Megan, the Bible tells us in Acts 2:38 to repent and be baptized. And ever since her Vacation Bible School talk, she was sorry for her sins. I'll read in the first person if that's okay. I've also wanted to follow Jesus. I wanted to be baptized. Baptism is a symbol of what Jesus did for me. What did he do for me? He washed away my sins. He died for me. He was raised from the dead so I could also live. He promised that if I believe, I too will be raised to life. I do believe. And now I want to obey him and follow him and be baptized. To me, baptism is a picture of dying in Jesus to be raised to life by him. The water also symbolizes washing my sins away. In conclusion, Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20, says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything I have commanded you. Therefore, being baptized before my church family is a public confession of my faith. It is a commitment to my parents, to my pastor, to my Sunday school teachers, and to my Christian friends. This commitment tells you that I want to be a disciple. I want to be taught to obey everything Jesus commanded us. Thank you.
Young lady by the name of Isabel will now come and share her testimony.
My name is Isabel, and I'm going to be sharing a testimony of how God has saved me and ultimately changed my life for eternity. I don't know about you, but all my life, I didn't really know God, just head knowledge, but not in my heart. So he changed that just about 2 years ago. In fall 2010, I transferred into the small public high school here in Newcastle, and without even realizing it, my life began to slowly unfold into a different life, a life with Christ for his glory. At the school, I saw how edifying and encouraging the Christian friends that I met in the Christian club, and slowly, God himself began to work through these people's lives and into my own, that which ignited a desire in my heart to truly have a personal relationship with the God of the universe. And it was not until later that God mysteriously began to reveal himself, and I slowly heard his voice as I was reading a novel that talked about spirituality, and nearing the end of the novel, the author ended it with a fervent prayer that somehow throughout this book, I would hear the crystal clear voice of Jesus whispering, "I love you," and that he's right there, being so real and tangible. I never knew such love before and how real and good God really is. And so in that moment, I stood there in deep reverence and awe. They generally experienced the presence of God along with his Holy Spirit. It was a moment like no other. The darkness receded and light filled my soul. I surrendered to Christ and received him as my Lord and Savior. And that marked the beginning of my faith journey and my deep love for God. I am a Christian not because of who I am, but because of who God is. By the grace of God, I was able to turn away from sin and realize that such a love had existed before the beginning of time. Nothing compares to this love burning deep inside my heart. I place God on the throne of my heart of hearts and truly want to live this life in Christ alone, of what is good, true, and unchanging, that the grace of God led me straight to the cross and the truth of the gospel, Jesus himself. This is the heart of the gospel, that through redemption, Jesus died for my sins and rose again from the grave, that through the cross, my world was crucified and I died to the world, according to Galatians 6, verse 14. My old self has been defeated by his atoning sacrifice. The old has gone, the new has come. I am a new creation in Christ, totally forgiven, eternally loved, and empowered by the Spirit of God. I am so thankful how God has saved me unto his loving arms, and how the blood of Christ that was shed for the sins of the world now covers me in his righteousness and sanctifies me to be recrafted into the likeness of Christ Jesus. So I now want to keep living for Christ alone until eternity, all for his glory. And one of my favorite verses I would like to end with comes from Galatians 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ in me. And the new life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith, but in the Son of the living God who loved and gave himself up for me.
It's amazing to see how God works in people's lives. Just absolutely amazing. I'm going to be reading the testimony of a lady in our church by the name of Shamla. I'm just going to ask Shamla to stand. She's in the back. Just stand, Shamla, so people can see who you are. That's Shamla Hines, and she's asked me to read her testimony. I was born and raised as a Tamil Hindu in Malaysia. I was taught to worship idols and have been practicing since I was a small child. Her husband, Glenn, helped her to write this testimony, but she wants to give him thanks for that. She said, these practices continued when I moved to Canada in 1993. and I even created an altar to the God that my family worshipped. In 2006, I worked with a couple of Christian ladies who shared the gospel with me, but I never paid much attention to it. Every day they would come to work with a Bible and preach to anyone and everyone, regardless of how they were received. Despite my disinterest, one of these ladies, Lori, who's here tonight, sitting beside her, never gave up on me and instead kept on praying and talking to me about the Lord. In 2008, I met my husband, Glenn, and God brought him into my life, and so he, God, could work in my heart to receive the gospel of Christ. We immediately came under spiritual attack by this idol, or rather this demon that my family had worshipped back in Malaysia. Its name in Hinduism is Lord Murugan, an alleged deity worshipped by Tamil Hindus that is often associated with shrines to snakes. Even Krishna, one of the highest gods in Hinduism, is always portrayed with a snake around his neck. The spiritual battles took the form of terrifying visions and nightmares that I had that had Murugan entering our room as a spirit accompanied by a man. While the spirit did not speak, the man spoke on his behalf, saying, "He's our friend, it's okay," and asking, "Why have you gotten rid of us?" I dealt with these battles by praying with my husband and asking my Christian friend Lori to pray. It was at this point that Glenn discovered the Hindu altar in my linen closet, and he asked, "Who are you worshiping?" This led to an open discussion on faith. Glenn cited this worshiping of idols in the linen closet altar as the source of our spiritual difficulties. I myself was afraid to remove the altar, but Glenn said it would be gone by the time that I got home from work. The spiritual attacks did continue, and they got so bad that I couldn't sleep in our room when Glenn was working at night. Instead, I would go and lay on the couch all night watching gospel programs, being fearful of falling asleep. Despite my fears, Glenn insisted that I put my trust in the Lord to protect me and that I should call out on the name of Jesus. On several occasions, I tried to do this only to have the Spirit literally sitting on my chest and choking me, leaving me unable to speak Jesus' name. Finally, after 8 months of this struggle, the attacks lessened, and then my faith began to grow. Around this time, Glenn and I began looking for a church in our area. One evening when visiting a church, an elderly woman tapped on my shoulder and said, "My granddaughter has a word to you from God." I looked at this teenage girl whose eyes were already teared up, and she said, "I've heard all your cries. I've not forgotten you. I love you." These words were spoken by a young girl who was now openly sobbing. They reminded me of all the times that I cried out to this unknown God, asking him, "Why is there such an emptiness inside of me?" I now know that the Lord Jesus Christ has had his hand on me all this time. Although we never chose to make that church our home, it was apparent that we were meant to visit it that night. Over the next few years, I was living the Christian life by following the commandments of God, but I was not in the Word, and we still did not have a church to call home. My friend Lori made it clear to me that I needed to be reading God's Word and to become a part of a church that preaches the gospel. Through further discussion with Lori, I realized I was holding back something from the Lord. I began to faithfully tithe, and I immediately felt a freedom inside of me. In 2011, Glenn and I first stepped foot in Newcastle Fellowship Baptist Church. We immediately realized that we could make it our church. NFBC has been such a blessing to us. I give all the praise and glory to God through His Son, Jesus Christ, for my journey to salvation. Now I can truly say that I walk with the Lord, and it is my prayer that one day my family will also come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. P.S. All praise to Jesus for giving me back my linen closet. Only towels are kept there now. He indeed works in mysterious ways. And I did have the opportunity as I was talking with Shamala, you know, "Did you trust Christ alone to save you?" And she said, "Yes, I have trusted Christ." She will be baptized tonight in obedience to Christ's commandment. Praise God. This time I'm going to ask David and Daisy Ross if they would come and share their testimonies with us.
It's my pleasure tonight to be able to share my faith with the congregation of Newcastle Fellowship Baptist Church. Just a little emotional. I have joined many Christian churches throughout my lifetime as we moved to different areas in Ontario. I'm thankful for kind neighbors, Mary and Harry Templeton, who invited us to this church. Our first visit was 1 year ago at an open-air service in Newcastle. I was blessed at the time to hear Pastor Jacques preach and also listen to the music of the praise songs played and sung. After the service, I felt a warm welcome by Joan Perry and others who made us feel at home there. In Hebrews 10:25, it says, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." As a child, I attended First Avenue Baptist Church in Toronto. My mother always sent us to Sunday school, and I thank God for the teaching of the Bible through dedicated loving teachers. I remember at the age 12 or 13, my teacher asked if anyone would like to receive Jesus into their hearts and lives. This was on Easter Sunday, and I felt a strong desire to follow Jesus. When I was 15 years old, I made this decision. I was invited to a Billy Graham crusade meeting in Toronto by my older sister and her husband. When the invitation was given, I realized my need to ask Jesus for forgiveness of my sins. I went forward by myself, knowing that God was leading me. I was baptized later at First Avenue Baptist Church. In Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 10, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that none can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." I thank God that I have assurance of salvation and eternal life. My life was changed through God's Holy Spirit, and I had a strong desire to serve God every day of my life. In 2 Corinthians 5:17-21, God's word says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. 1 John 4:19, "We love him because he first loved us." In Romans 6:23, we read, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And also in 1 John 5:11-12 says, "And this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who has not the Son of God has not life." I would like to say something about my background. I was raised in a family of 9 children, 3 boys and 6 girls. I was born number 6 in our family and in the younger group. Most of my childhood days, I remember being on welfare. My mother was a Christian and my father wasn't. We faced most of the time with a disrupted home due to my father's alcoholic habit. My sisters and brothers are Christians, for which I am thankful. My father made a deathbed repentance with my sister's help while he was in the hospital. A highlight in my life was the opportunity to study and memorize scripture through the Navigator's topical memory system. This was a real blessing for me, as promised in Psalm 119:11. "I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you." In high school, I took a 2-year commercial course, which qualified me for a position at the Bank of Montreal, head office, King and Bay Street in Toronto, as a clerk typist in the savings department. With God's help, I tried to live and witness for Christ while working there. And while attending our youth group at First Avenue Baptist Church, my sister Pat and I were invited to a graduation service at Toronto Bible College. We decided at that time to attend evening classes. I believe that marriages are arranged in heaven because I met the love of my life, Dave, there. He was also working full-time during the day and was desiring to go to the evening classes. Dave invited me to the Christmas banquet at Toronto Bible College, and that is where our romance started. We have been married 53 years in October, and God's blessing has been on our marriage and lives throughout the years. We have 5 wonderful children, 2 girls and 3 boys, and 9 grandchildren, ranging in age from 8 to 18. We thank God for each one and pray for God's hands on their lives, that they will experience the joy of knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. We are blessed this year to see Mark, our oldest grandson, who is 18, attend first year at Houghton College in New York. With God's help, I'm happy to be a member of this church and would like to serve him in ways that are pleasing to God and my fellow sisters and brothers in Christ. Thank you.
As a child and young person, I pondered often about the existence of God. I'm so thankful for having a wonderful Christian mother and a very moral and strict father. This kept me from many troubles and sinful activity, although I knew inside that I was no angel. At age 18, I left home to attend university, went on my own in Kingston, Ontario. I came to a fork in the road. Either go along with the partying crowd at the university or attend church as I had promised to my mother. I could not lie to my mother, so I went to church and also the Queen's Christian Fellowship and the Kingston Christian Youth Center. I heard the gospel message many times, and also in letters from my family and from an older student friend at Queen's named Ray Elgie. One night, I knelt at my bedside where I lived, and asked Christ to forgive me for my sins and come into my heart and life as Lord and Savior. I remembered then from the Pilgrim's Progress, which my father had read to our family, how Christian, the main character in the book, felt when he came to the cross on his way to the eternal city. Thus far did I come laden with my sin, nor could I ease the grief that I was in till I came hither. What a place is this! Must here be the beginning of my bliss? Must here the burden fall from off my back? Must here the strings that bound it to me crack? Blessed cross, blessed sepulcher, blessed rather be the man that there was put to shame for me. Things changed in my life after this. All swearing stopped, and I felt a new spirit inside that loved righteousness and hated evil. Though I still had many faults and weaknesses, my young life changed direction. I now wanted to find a Christian girl to marry. 53 years ago, at the evening classes of the old Toronto Bible College, I met Daisy, and soon we were married. Her family, and especially her faithful mother, were a great help and strength to me. Throughout our 53 years together, Daisy and I have attended churches of several denominations, and we now count it a real blessing, real privilege and blessing to join Newcastle Fellowship Baptist Church, where we find such a wonderful ministry and so many godly people, from young people to the elderly. My first verse that I learned when I became a Christian was, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." In describing Mr. Valiant for Truth, John Bunyan, the writer of Pilgrim's Progress, wrote this beautiful poem, which has helped me throughout my life. "Who would true valor see? Let him come hither. One here would constant be, come wind, come weather. There's no discouragement shall make him once relent his first avowed intent to be a pilgrim. Whoso beset him round with dismal stories do but themselves confound, his strength the more is. No lion can him fright, he'll with a giant fight, but he will have the right to be a pilgrim. Hobgoblin nor foul fiend can daunt his spirit, he knows he at the end shall life inherit. Then fancies fly away, he'll not fear what men say, he'll labor night and day to be a pilgrim." Thank you.
This time I'm going to ask Emery and Mary Kovacs to come and share their testimonies.
Good evening, everyone. I'm shaking already. Before I was 23 years of age, I made a trip on the Empress of Britain coming from England. I met a retired couple, George and Queenie Florence. They were coming to visit their son and daughter-in-law for 6 months. George was the first person who told me I had to repent of my sins and put my trust in Jesus Christ. Their son and family became my friends, and I visited often. Also, I went to their church with them. Several months after meeting George, I gave my life to Christ. I had grown up attending a Methodist church. I still have a Bible and hymn book for good attendance, but I don't remember hearing the true gospel. Shortly after my conversion, I followed the Lord's command and was baptized in the waters of baptism at Kitchener Park Baptist Church. Pastor Harry Strachan was the one that baptized me. The church I was attending, Churchill Heights Baptist Church, were meeting in a school at the time, a public school, and didn't have a baptismal. Churchill Heights Baptist Church grew in members, and the Lord did great things in Scarborough under Pastor Strachan, under his ministry. I saw the three buildings built over 50 years at Churchill Heights Baptist Church. I was a pioneer girl leader, a Sunday school teacher, and a choir member over the years. I've attended Newcastle for several years, and I feel the Lord would have us join with you and work together to see great things done for him in Newcastle. I thank you for listening, and I look forward to becoming a member if the Lord wishes.
Good evening. I had a long journey till this day, But God say, my Lord, my God was with me. I grew up in a Bible-believing Christian family. I was 15 years old when I realized I needed to ask Jesus to forgive my sin. I attended the church, but my non-Christian friends largely influenced me, my behavior the wrong way. My Sunday school teacher and our pastor always challenged us to stay away from worldly influence. One Sunday, our pastor asked us, are you sure you are going to heaven? Just because you are attending church and born into the Christian family? That doesn't make you a Christian. He preached on John 3:3-5, where Jesus asked Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, to accept a man be born again cannot be in the kingdom of God. And verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That day the Holy Spirit touched my heart. I repented my sin and I felt a sense of relief and peace in my heart. And the verse in Galatians 3:26 say, for ye are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. That summer in 1953, I was baptized in the River Kurdish in July in my hometown. Occurred into my faith in Jesus Christ, my Savior, my Redeemer. It was 1951. Our family was prosecuted by the communist government. Our family farms, businesses were confiscated. I was 14 years old. I was hoping to go to high school. It was right beside our home. I couldn't. I was an outcast. I had to move away from home. My uncle was a pastor in Budapest, 200 kilometers away. He helped me. I got him accepted in the technical high school to study to be a laboratory glass technician. I graduated in 1956 in June, started working. In October came the Hungarian Revolution. Then in the Russian army invaded Hungary. In November 11, my cousin, his wife, and two of my friends decided we are going to bicycle ride to visit our neighbors 200 kilometers away in Austria. In the 13th of November, we walked and crawled on our stomach over to the border to Austria with other 300,000 Hungarians. Left that country that fall. In a couple of weeks, we were in England in the army barracks in the refugee camp. And then in London, waiting for a transfer to Canada. In May 1957, arrived to Toronto with 35,000 other Hungarian refugees. God guided my every step. As I look back, it was a miracle journey without any difficulty. The Toronto Hungarian Baptist Church members helped us settle in our new city. I came to be a member involved in activities, especially with the young people's group, in a choir, and the membership increased greatly because of many new immigrants. That year I had many different jobs. At Christmas I lost my job, and I had three friends who moved to Regina, and they got a job for me there. And I arrived in Regina in 1958. I entered Faith Baptist Church. We had a wonderful time. We learned English very fast. Joined the choir, the youth group. It was a vibrant new ministry in the new subdivision. But slowly we all came back to Toronto. It was 1965 when I joined the Hungarian church again, continued my work with the youth group, and that year I also got elected to the deacon board. 1966 I got married. We got two sons. They sucks on there, but 1976 a friend invited to Churchill Baptist Church. First we went there only the evening. In 1974 we became members and got involved in the bus ministry and the missionary committee, in the property committee and ushering, and under Pastor Wedge I got elected to be a deacon board. Later I was involved with the Alpha group, and one of my neighbors got saved. I went when I invited him to the Alpha. Many years just being a good neighbor, he came to the church with me. He never was a churchgoer, being a Catholic French Canadian. I never preached to him. Then one day he was asked, "Can I go to church with you?" I think the Holy Spirit touched his heart. My two sons, David and Peter, both grown up in the church, High Baptist Church. They were get saved and they involved in the church program, played musical instrument, and also Mary's family were there and our kids grown up together. I lost my wife in 1987. Mary's husband, Richard, was a good friend of mine, and he passed away in 2001. Then our friends and the good Lord seen our loneliness and brought us together. In 2005 we got married. Mary lived in Wilma Creek. Since 2003 I was still working and lived in Toronto. And 2005 I sold my house and moved into Wilma Creek when we got married. Then we started to come here in this church on Sunday evening first. Then that was 7 years ago. And now it's time to come to be a member and get involved here, wherever is the good Lord wants me to be, and help in any way I can in the ministry here. Thank you very much.
Praise God. Amen. I'm going to ask Kevin Gabriel to share what God will save him.
Good evening, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Kevin Gabriel. And it truly is a blessing tonight to stand before you and echo the words of David in Psalm 66. Come and listen, all who fear God, and I will tell what he has done for me. Come and see the works of God. His acts towards mankind are awe-inspiring. Like every Christian, I must begin by quoting Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 15. But by God's grace, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not ineffective. I stand before you tonight, a man more sinful and flawed than I can dare believe, yet more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than I can dare understand. I was born into a loving and godly family, with parents who taught me about Christ from as early as I can remember. I was homeschooled all the way up until grade 11, and as a result, I gained a solid foundation for my Christian beliefs. At the age of 4, my mother was singing to me before bed, as she always did, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. With the limited understanding that I had, I asked my Lord Jesus to come into my heart. And I can tell you honestly, I do not know if that was my moment of salvation. I know that Paul says in Romans 10, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. With the heart one believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth one confesses, resulting in salvation. And I do know that with the faith of a child at 4 years old, I did believe. I was baptized by immersion with my two sisters a few years later, declaring my choice to follow Christ publicly, being buried with him in his death and raised with him in his resurrection. But as I look back on my life growing up, Isaiah's words come to mind. These people approach me with their mouths to honor me with lip service, yet their hearts are far from me. As I approached the end of elementary and started into high school, my heart grew progressively farther from my mouth. Though I was still the one who was called on in school assemblies to teach Bible studies, my heart turned more from the Lord as I chased fleeting and worldly, foolish pleasures. By the grace of God, He spared me from becoming involved with anything too serious and permanently damaging. Yet powerful idols in my life kept me from anything resembling a Christ-centered life. A few weeks before I started university in fall of 2009, my parents discovered some major ways I had been deceiving and lying to them, and responded with an act of decisive and bold discipline, knowing that I would either acknowledge my sin and turn to Christ or run from Him completely. And by the powerful mercy, grace, and loving kindness of God, I stand before you as evidence that God empowered me and enabled me to turn to Christ. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3, whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. This is truly the experience of my soul. The last 3 years of my life have been filled with mistakes and wrong turns, yet all the way, my Savior has led me with a gentle and merciful hand. My passion for communing with Him through His word and prayer, for consecrating myself to Him day by day, and for dedicating my life to His service grows each day. Each morning when I wake, I praise Christ for the delight that I find in Him, because His loving kindness is better than life. And I exalt Him for being the one who is able to keep me from stumbling and to present me faultless before His presence with exceeding joy. I learn more each day that I'm not my own, but I'm bought at a price, that I've been crucified with Christ and no longer live, that He must increase and I must decrease, that living is Christ and dying is gain, that I'm a prisoner and slave of Christ, that where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. I learn that, as Paul says in Ephesians, I was made a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace that was given to me by the working of His power. I learn that God has committed the message of reconciliation to me, that I'm an ambassador for Christ, certain that God is appealing through me. So I must plead with others on Christ's behalf, since I am His mouthpiece in this world. I learn that the strongest motivation to live a holy and Christ-exalting life is to let the love of Christ constrain me. As Matthew Henry says, not of debt, but of grace. For the more we do for God, the more we are indebted to Him, because we receive the more from Him. I desire to become a member at Newcastle Fellowship Baptist Church because I've seen through the last few years a community of believers led by strong leadership who are growing in their passion for Christ each day. I see the truth in life being preached unapologetically and mercifully. I desire to associate myself with this group of believers, to place myself under the teaching, accountability, and discipline of the leadership, and to serve in whatever way God enables me to. And in conclusion, I plead with those who are younger and living with one foot in the world, as I did for many years, turn to Christ. He is strong to save. We will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ and will be repaid for what we have done. I promise you that you will face suffering from your classmates and from your friends, but these light and momentary afflictions will produce an absolutely incomparable weight of glory. I praise the Lord each day for the treasure He has given me in Himself, and that this treasure is in a clay jar such as myself, so that the extraordinary power may be from God and not from me. Thank you.
Praise God for His manifold grace and power in saving people's lives. We're going to ask the worship team to come just to get us to stand up and give thanks to the Lord for the great things He's done. Tonight, I want you to understand that there's one common denominator in every single one of these testimonies, and that is that God has brought these people to the cross. We just sang a song that says, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. You can only be saved through Jesus Christ. And I know in a gathering this large tonight that there's some people here who don't know whether their sins are forgiven. You're not sure that if when you die that you will go to heaven. We want to tell you that there's only one Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. And salvation is a free gift from God. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. We're going to listen to some more testimonies of how young people and older people have come to know Christ. And I'm going to ask Catherine Hepworth to come and share how the Lord saved her. Kathleen, I'm sorry. Kat. We call her Kat.
Good evening, everybody. I don't always sound like this. I have a cold right now. So, my name is Kathleen Hepworth. I'm 19 years old. Actually, I'm still 18. I'll be 19 in 2 months. And so I'm living in Oshawa with my parents. I'm the youngest of three sisters. We're each 5 years apart. Okay. So every Sunday morning, me and my sisters would be dressed up in our frilly socks and floral dresses, and my dad would drive us up the road to church. So I grew up in a church home, and for 14 years, we would go to that church, and it was my second home. How I got saved, one Sunday in kids' church after the message, the pastor asked us if anybody wanted to accept Jesus into their heart. He repeated that question to everybody every week, so it wasn't anything unusual. Same fuzzy blue carpet in the loft, same kids I grew up with, same worship songs I knew all the words to, but that I loved to sing. But something was tuning my ear to his voice, and my heart was speaking inside, saying, I do. I want to accept Jesus. I was only about 7, but I believe that's when I first started my walk with God. So just a little more about my life. My sister and my dad fought a lot. I was about 8 years old when they would be slamming doors, swearing and screaming at each other. I often asked my mom if my sister was okay. I was confused, but we didn't talk about it, so I started keeping everything inside at that point. I was 9 when she was kicked out of the house. She stayed with my aunt and my uncle in Montreal. I missed her, though. In junior high, I started bringing friends with me to church. I loved God, but there was an emptiness in my heart still. I didn't feel love from my father, and that was a big burden in my life then. Unconsciously, I was seeking out a father figure. I was trying to be seeking out love everywhere that I went, trying to fill that hole in my heart. I was 13 when I made the decision to take the next step in following Jesus, baptism. I was so joyful. I knew it was the right decision. And that was March 18, 2007. Okay. Earlier that summer, our youth pastor, Pastor Sean, announced that he felt God was calling him to go to BC. This is the youth pastor that had helped me grow in my walk with Christ for a few years. And so I was with a group of friends over at his house with his family saying our last goodbyes. When he said to us, I love you, I broke down in tears. When he left, I felt abandoned and forgotten because I looked at him like a father figure. At that time, our church leadership was changing, and unfortunately so were its values. My parents decided to leave our church home and search for a new place, so I followed them. Then I started high school. I felt so alone. I lost touch with all of my church friends, and my closest friends from elementary school shifted into the party scene. I lost my grip on my values, and I stopped attending church. I went from top of the class to barely passing. Alone and insecure, I developed an attitude and withdrew from people. Everything I held inside over the years, I took out on myself through anger, perfection, and self-injury. Disheartened my heart from God and anyone that tried to help me. Trying to block out my pain, I blocked out God instead and all his promises and his truth, and I believed I was worthless. One of my friends invited me to a youth group in grade 11. I started going with her to youth, and then I went every week, eventually by myself, and I started going to church there. Once again, my heart began being convicted by the reading of the Word. It's been a while since I've been to church. At this church, I met Cody, and we stayed there for a couple of years. But unfortunately, the messages were mostly feel-good ones, or just a story not based or structured with any scripture. So here I am tonight, and I'm wanting to become a member of NFBC because I agree with the teaching, and I am convicted every Sunday by the truth of the Word. I can see how God is working here, and it is a real blessing to see people committed to the truth and leaders living honest, blameless lives. I also commit to serving here if I would become a member. And if I may, I would just like to read a passage of scripture I read yesterday. So yesterday I was reading Luke 8, and this is when I was wrapping up my testimony, and I just felt like it kind of tied in with my story. So this is Luke 8, and starting at verse 5. And this is the parable that Jesus spoke, the parable of the sower. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he scattered the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." Then Jesus said, "This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop." I'm glad the disciples asked him what he meant by the parable, because Jesus explained it so plainly. Plant the seed, the word of God, deep into your heart. Hear the word and retain it. Persevere through the doubt, lies, and lust of the world, and keep through times of testing. Thank you.
So I'm going to ask Kara Penny to come and share her testimony.
Good evening, everyone. As Pastor Jacques said, I'm Sarah Penny, and I've been, I would like to share my testimony about how I was saved and why I want to become a member here. So when I was born into a Christian home, and as I grew up, we went to church, and we were taught the gospel from young children and knew that to be saved, I had to repent of my sins and believe in Christ. And I understood, but until I was about in grade 6, I didn't want to come to Christ, but because I was quite the rebellious natured child growing up, even though it would be things that I'd want to do, I just didn't want to do them because my parents told me to. But when I was in grade 6, I accepted Christ into my heart, and it was in my room by myself, but we had been going to church and youth group, and had heard the gospel, and I understood that I was sinful, and I found myself often broken over the sin in my life and disobeying my parents. And at that point, I was reading the Word and praying, but I didn't understand that it wasn't me who had to do the work to try and be better. And I was trying to do everything on my own and try and be a good person without letting Christ be Lord over my life. And at that point, I was very insecure, though. And as I grew up, I found myself seeking attention and satisfaction in the fleeting things of the world. And as each year progressed, I started rebelling more and more against the Lord. As I started going through high school, I was always convicted of everything, and because of that, I tried to drown out the truth that was so loud in my mind and in my heart by rebelling more and using alcohol and drugs. To forget about the conviction that it felt. And this continued until second year university, where by God's grace I had met many Christians and my closest friend in school at that time was actually Kevin Gabriel. I was in my program. And at that time, I wouldn't have ever actually sought out to meet Christians, let alone allow myself to be friends with them. So, the Lord really did that work. That was not of me at all, but we became friends, and he really used Kevin and a few other friends that I had made in my program and through Campus Church to convict me. I saw in them such true joy and love for the Lord, and I wondered how they could be so happy and not indulge in the things of the world and do whatever they want, and yet I was so dissatisfied. And at that point in second year, I had been realizing more and more the dissatisfaction and sadness that I felt each day, and that my life was seemingly worthless. And at that time, I didn't realize it was because I was living for the world, but everything seemed so empty, and I didn't know what to do. So I was drinking more and seeking things of the world more so that I would forget how I felt, because I always tried to suppress what was in my heart because I didn't want to face it. But thankfully, I was invited out to worship nights and Bible studies, and for a while, I fought the desire in my heart to go and the Holy Spirit leading for me to go. But by God's grace, one day I finally went in April 2011, and they were teaching on John 15 about the vine and the branches, and I just want to share the scripture. John 15, 4-11, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone who does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." As I heard and read these words, the Lord spoke to me and reminded me that the reason I felt the way I did was because I was not living for Christ, and I realized I needed to abide in him and not just say he was Savior, but to truly live in such a way and let him be Lord of my life. I decided that I needed to live for Christ and rededicated my life to the Lord that day. This was at the end of the school year, however, and so when school ended, I was away from all those Christians except for on Sundays, and I didn't know how to interact with my old friends. I told them about what had happened and about Christianity, and I felt such passion to see them saved. However, as I continued to hang out with them and go to parties, because that was the only time we ever saw each other, I tried not to drink and live and speak like them, but being in that environment, I was setting myself up to fail and having sinful flesh and still not solidly understanding how I needed to deny myself, I struggled with getting away from that life. Those feelings of conviction and dissatisfaction quickly resurfaced, and I knew I had to change something drastically. When school started, I decided that I would cut off many friendships and be serious about reading the Word, and I knew I had to be disciplined in reading and praying, even on those days that I didn't feel like it. And I'm thankful the Lord has given me a disciplined heart and a desire to be diligent that, because I wouldn't have done it else. The Lord has been so faithful since that point and increased my desire to read and to know Him and to follow Him and my passion to serve Him and obey Him in all areas of my life. I was committed to my church, which was Harvest Bible Chapel in Durham, and I took part in a small group every week, and I was attending the campus church events and Bible studies. And I'm so thankful for this because the Lord used all the people and all those things to encourage me, and He blessed me with such godly and close friends, which I had never experienced having before. I was so thankful that though that the Lord showed me in the summer that my faith didn't depend on the people I was with or where I was, but that He had called me to love and obey Him no matter what. As the semester progressed, my faith was growing and the Lord was drawing me closer to Himself. I felt in my heart early on in the semester that I was not being called to be a doctor anymore. And after much prayer and thought, I decided that to switch into the nursing program where I knew the Lord was calling me to, which I am now in. On December 18th, I was baptized and was so excited to proclaim that Christ is my Savior and to continue to pursue Him with all my heart. Before this point, I had met Nathan at school, and we started talking more after I came to the membership and baptism service here about a year ago, and we talked that night and got to know each other more throughout the semester. In early January of this year, Nathan and I decided to pursue a relationship as we saw the Lord building a deeper friendship and attraction between us. In second semester, I led a Bible study with Nathan, and the Lord used Him so much in my life to encourage me and remind me of where my focus ought to be. Shortly after we had started dating this past April, we had discussed the idea of me coming to NFBC, and I came to all the evening services throughout the summer and some of the morning services once in a while, and I decided that I would leave my old church and make NFBC my church when the school year started, and I'm so excited to share my testimony and to let you know why I want to be a member here. Since I've started coming here, I've seen such a group of godly people who I want to be a part of and grow with. And I'm so thankful for all of you who have made me feel so welcome here. And I want to become a member of this church because I believe that church membership is mandated in the Word that I ought to be committed to a church. I feel that the Lord has called me to serve here and to do so for some time. And membership is necessary to serve in the ministries in this church. And I am so excited to see where the Lord will lead me to serve in this church. I thank you so much for listening to my testimony. I pray that the testimony of the Lord's work in my life encouraged you and reminded you of His power and faith.
Not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Praise God for that. Andy and Tammy Taylor are going to come and share their testimonies at this point in time.
Get a look at you. Thank you. I'll just give you a little history. It's not really a little, it's actually a lot. I'm sorry. I tried to pare this down as best as I could, and I couldn't be honest with myself if I was to do it anymore, so I hope you bear with me as I share some of these things with you about where I've come from and where I am today. Thanks be to God. I was raised in the village of Elizabethville on a farm by two loving parents and shared my childhood with two older brothers. My parents did their best to raise us well with a healthy mixture of love and responsibility. My grandparents, who lived across the road, also had a very strong impact on my life. They usually hosted all the birthdays and family occasions in their home. One ritual that we had with them was that we would each get focused time alone at their home every third Friday night, where we would watch Friday night TV, Dukes of Hazzard and Fantasy Island, eat chips, drink Pop Shop soda, and have our favorite sugared cereal in the morning for breakfast. Each of us looked forward to our turn to go. My grandfather was very respected in my family. He was given the place of honor at any family gathering, and his opinion on matters was strongly taken into consideration. He was devoted to our family and was a very reliable help if we ever needed him. He was around. He taught my brother about farm mechanics, farming, and all of us about maple syrup making and nature. They took all three of us to Grundy Lake every summer for a getaway. My grandfather also secretly abused the position of authority that he had by violating my innocence from age 3 to 11. My grandmother was a hard-working farm woman who would demonstrate to me a love for gardening, baking, and canning. Every Sunday, my grandmother, who was a superintendent and lead Sunday school teacher in our little United Church in the village, would drive around and pick up as many children in the area as she could to attend church with her. She was very committed to this role, and it seemed to be something she was very passionate about. So until I was about 13, I attended church with my grandmother on Sundays. Two very important seeds were planted in me from those years that made all the difference in my painful years that were to come. One is that I learned the song, Yes, Jesus Loves Me, and two was I memorized Psalm 23. However, I was very distracted by my brokenness, and I tried to cover my pain by controlling my life as much as I could. I chose child abuse as the topic for any essays that I was to research, and I learned as much about it as I could. I learned what the statistics were, and I tried my hardest in my own strength to avoid becoming another one. I made a decision that I would do whatever I could to control my life so that I didn't become an unwed teenage mother, a drug addict, a prostitute, a divorcee, a high school dropout, an alcoholic, or dead from suicide. My healing started when I was 11 years old. At that point, I confronted my grandfather and told him that he had to stop. And I realized just when I was doing this testimony up for you guys, I realized that, yeah, that's when Psalm 23 came to play. Yea, though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, and they comfort me. I only had the courage to do that because I knew that God was with me and he helped me. And I did give him the glory from that point on for being with me and for leading me into making that decision. My parents, however, were unaware because I did believe him when he told me not to tell them or they wouldn't love me anymore. As I grew older, I became only concerned with popularity, and my studies showed it. I had many boyfriends, and my girlfriends were as fair weather as I was. I didn't understand how to have healthy relationships with boys or girls, for that matter. I was self-serving and very naive, and also obsessed with people-pleasing as a means of acceptance and of belonging. This obsession continued into my 20s. I tried to control the outcome of relationships by pleasing others, with hopes that they would do what I wanted them to do. I did this especially with the boyfriends in my life, with the hopes that they would marry me and buy into the dream that I had of marriage, children, and a white picket fence, and a wraparound porch to boot. The guys I dated tended to be as controlling as me, but in their own way. This continued to be a pattern of my life until tragedy struck our family. And my father died suddenly of a heart attack at the age of 53. He was my mom's best friend, and he was my faithful rock. He was such a beautiful man to others, and a beautiful father to me. After his death, my life took on a whole new look. I started on a search for meaning. I wanted to understand what happened to my dad, where his spirit dwelled. I became frustrated with my life as well. And in my search for meaning, I started looking into reincarnation, as introduced to me by a nurse that I looked up to. I bought into the concept and then moved on to other schools of thought over the next 5 years. I became quite deep into searching for God under the New Age belief system. This left me feeling emptier and emptier as the belief is focused on self. Within that 5-year time span after my dad died, other things happened too. In my 26th year, I became rebellious in my heart and found myself a new boyfriend who helped me to live out my rebellious ways. We both struggled from pain from our past and found a common bond that linked us together. I started to live a lie. I steered my life in the opposite direction of all that I had been taught. I tried drugs for the first time. I left all my friends behind and built a life around my new boyfriend. Over time, my own family didn't know me. I became a foreigner to them. My mind did not react the same way to pot as others around me. Over time, I developed drug-induced psychosis and paranoia. These symptoms stayed with me even after I stopped the drug use. It wasn't until I met Christ and he worked with me that I was truly set free from that mental torment for good. I stopped using after I realized that I was pregnant at the age of 27. I left the relationship on Easter Sunday that year and walked out at 3 months pregnant. My mom let me come to live with her again. I had the saddest, loneliest summer of my life. I spent my time talking to God and searching to find out more about him. I refused to consider Christianity, however, because of the hypocrisy I witnessed in my grandparents. I thought Christianity was just a set of rules and a social opportunity, that Christians didn't know anything about spirituality. My beautiful son, Skylar, was born October 99, and my life started to take on a new meaning at this point. I lived for him and tried my best to mother him in the way he deserved to be loved. In my heart, though, I didn't think I was a good mom, and I thought anyone could care for him better than I could. I later came to realize that the daily thoughts that I had about death was a sign that I was suffering from postpartum depression. In those dark days, when I was alone in my apartment, I recall the song, "Yes, Jesus Loves Me," echoing in my ear, and it gave me a glimpse of hope in a time when I so believed I was so unlovable. The summer before Skylar turned 1, I had a momentary lapse of reason, found myself back in a relationship with his dad. As a result of that short-lived rekindling, my little Josh was conceived, and I ended the relationship one day before I realized that I was pregnant for the second time. I remained single, but as a solution to the situation that we were in, we decided that I would buy a house and he would live with me to help me manage the children. I bought my first home in January and we moved in together. We thought that our relationship would improve over time, but it didn't. The day after our son Joshua Daniel was born on May 18th, there was a domestic dispute that involved the police, and they recommended that we separate, so Walter left that day. And I was a single mom from that day on. Then my sweet little cousin Rachel, who was 19 years old, took an interest in my life. She invited me to attend her church in Peterborough called Auburn Bible Chapel, a Brethren church that her father, my cousin John, pastored. I attended one time only because she was so lovely and I couldn't hurt her sweet heart, or so I thought. Soon after, we hosted a celebration of life dinner for my father on the 5th year of his passing. The occasion was my brainchild, and I wanted desperately for it to be fruitful. This cousin of John of mine attended, and I asked him to say a blessing over the meal. He obliged, and in his prayer, he said something like this: "And Father, please bless the conversations we're about to have tonight." Something in my heart shifted when I heard this prayer. It was so in touch with my heart. I made a decision that night that I would attend his church in the morning and would continue to until God led me to stop. When I attended the next morning and every Sunday after, I felt like the messages were personally prepared just for me. I couldn't believe it. It was as though John and I were in the room. In November, a ministry called Hell's Flames and Heaven's Gates, I think that's what it's called, came to our church to deliver the gospel through drama. An altar call was offered, and I went up, and I'm certain that I could almost hear the angels singing in heaven when I did. I knew that I had to be true to myself, and I had to say yes. I had no idea, really, what I was saying yes to. But I'm so glad that I went. I was so excited and alive. I had finally found the truth after 5 years of searching. He was right there with me all that time. I just was too stubborn to believe. I was baptized 1 month later on December 31st, 2001, 1 month before my 30th birthday. Now I'm 40 and my life has completely changed. God delivered me from the psychosis and paranoia soon after I was saved. I still have to be on guard with depression, but I know now what to do if my mind starts to wander into that place. God also gave me a heart of forgiveness and mercy towards my grandfather. He led me to forgive completely and to find a way to bless him by caring for him in the nursing home when I visited him and by giving me the honor to deliver his eulogy with dignity. I also had to forgive my grandmother because I truly believe that she was aware of his behavior and didn't protect me. I also was given the gift of knowing that she was authentically saved before she died, and then also delivered her eulogy by the gift of God's grace. God blessed me with two fantastic sons who have fueled me to press on and have acted as accountability partners for me at times, reminding me of the plans that God has for me when I would be off kilter or be having a bad day. I don't think I would be where I am today if it were not for them. Skylar gave his heart to the Lord at a young age of 3 and Josh at the age of 7, and I have been able to see how God's word is alive and active in them and have witnessed growth in both of their lives. We prayed together as a family of 3 for God to bring us a godly man for me to marry and for the boys to have as a spiritual leader in their life. We also prayed for a baby sister to follow. God faithfully answered these prayers by bringing my wonderful husband Andy into our lives and now Vivian. I love the verse at the end of the book of John. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have enough room for the books that would be written. Chapter 21, verse 25. I was led to this church in a beautiful way, and I started to attend in May 2008. I could go on for so much longer with this message to tell you all of what a blessing it has been to me and my family. I don't think a day has passed that I haven't thanked God for NFBC, for the passion, purity, prayer, and perseverance of the leadership and the parishioners. I have grown in my faith and in my understanding of God's word here. I want to be able to give back to the Lord through this body of believers. I want to be connected legally and spiritually to this body because I believe in what it stands for and the hope that it has to bring God glory. Thank you so much. God bless you all.
All right, well, for those of you that don't know me, I'm Andy Taylor, the wonderful husband. This is transparent, so I guess I can't hide behind anything now. I was talking to Pastor Jacques earlier. I said, when you preach, it's really good for me because he uses, what do you call it, literary preaching or something? Every point he has starts with the same letter, and I can remember it throughout the day. So I've got a little cheat. All mine start with D today, so... So I'll start with dysfunction. My family, I was the 4th child born in 1966, and I came into a family that was in disarray, lots of alcoholism from my dad, sexual abuse with my sister, and
physical violence, setting the house on fire. It was crazy. And I really was ashamed of that and acted out in school and just really didn't know how to behave. Didn't have any structure in my life and was running all over the place. And you'd think that would kind of turn you away from, you know, from addiction, seeing your dad go down that road, but it wasn't like that at all. I like my brothers and my sister, followed in his footsteps. But I had a praying mother as well. We grew up in a Catholic church. Well, I went to a Catholic school. I didn't really go to church. And my perception of God was that he was angry. And if he was real, he certainly wasn't going to help me and didn't want anything to do with me. That's kind of what I remember as I was writing this down. That's kind of my perception. So as I went on, to the second point is destruction. When I got into grade 8, into high school, I was smoking cigarettes and drinking and into relationships that were, you know, over my head, and started quitting everything. Couldn't finish anything. I had no desire to really stick things out. Quit school, grade 10, played soccer in the United States when I was 16 years old. Quit that for a girlfriend back in Port Hope, Ontario. You know, and just strange things like that. And then I got into the workforce. My first job was $2.85 an hour back then. I give my age away, but I couldn't even keep those jobs. I went from job to job, and my addiction got worse. And I was introduced to the drug cocaine when I was 19. And you know, I'm not going to go into too much detail there. But God definitely had his hand on me through people like evangelizing, through my 22 years of addiction, you know. And I just kept looking for outside things to heal this brokenness. And I kind of found it for a few years in cocaine, that's what I thought. And all my talents and relationships and everything that I had relied on, I weren't there anymore. My body started changing physically, my mind and my emotions. I was still 12 years old emotionally, you know. I'm about 17 now, Tammy says. So I'm getting there. God is good. And I can make light of it because I know I had to go through that because I don't think I'd know God otherwise. You know, I started crossing boundaries, you know, with the way I use drugs. It got me into debt and divorce and got me into disease, you know, blood disease from sharing needles and, you know, just insane things. Yet I still thought it was a secret life and kept pressing on, looking for things, going to the Baha'i faith meetings, reading books of yin and yang and martial arts and different things that I was trying to get this discipline, you know. I joined a gym every year to try to get some discipline and would never go. And, you know, it sounds strange, but that's what I was doing, trying to fill this void. And then I was running a group home for children, believe it or not, and I was making a lot of money. And I was doing it for the money. And I lost everything. I lost the children in the house because I stayed away from the kids for 4 or 5 days. Using one weekend, and to make it short, this little girl was babysat the night before. She was a friend of mine's daughter. She was babysat by some Christians the night before, so she came into the bathroom where I was weeping and trying to get cleaned up. A friend was trying to help me, and she said, "The devil's real, Andy, and he kills people." Well, I just lose it, and but it wasn't enough to stop me. I tried to rob a store and heard the voice of God say to me, I had stolen a gun, and I heard the voice of God say to me, "What are you willing to do?" And I wasn't willing to hurt the girl behind me. Like, you know, I just wasn't doing that. So it was that night where I took an apartment from this person I called. They gave me a room in their house. They had one channel on TV. They had these old rabbit ears, you know? And I had to get them all, you know, I banged it a few times. And the channel, the only channel on there was this Life Channel or something, and there's a Teen Challenge advertisement on there. And a fellow named George Glover was walking around Teen Challenge talking about Christ. So me being a youth worker and into the mental state I was, I wrote down the number, thinking if I ever go back to youth work, I'll have a resource. Little did I know, a few months later, I was on welfare because I refused to work because I could not stop using. Every dime I had would go, so I asked the government to help me for a few months and pay my rent. But I was still using with the food money they gave me and eating at soup kitchens in BC, British Columbia. So I went to my sister's, and she told me I couldn't come around anymore because they figured I was going to die. And she didn't want her kids to see that. But I thank God for that. Because that motivated me to be open to things that maybe I wouldn't have been open to. And my brother Chris, who's now a pastor in Peterborough, he phones me and he says, listen, Teen Challenge was just at our church. They have guys your age. I was 33 at the time. They have guys your age. What do you think? I hear you're in trouble out there. I said, I already have the number. So I phoned, and September 9th. Today's September 9th, right?
It
is. I got saved September 9th, 1999.
Oh, pretty
good. That's funny. I wish it was all great from there, but it hasn't been. I don't know why, but I was trying to use God now as my healer, but in the wrong way. It wasn't about personal relationship. Actually, to be honest, until I started coming to this church, I had no idea how to be a part of the body of Christ. And I certainly didn't know about discipleship and membership. But thanks to Paul and Aki and Pastor Jacques and my care group, I'm delivered. Which is my next D, so that works out good. And now I want to be a member because I need to be. I need to be in the covering, and I need to be part of what is good in the world and what we're doing here. Which brings me to this. I'll just read a verse if I have time. I memorized it, but I'm going to read it. Because I never realized, I've read this 100 times, I never realized that it's about us. God discipling his sons and daughters, it's about us. It's Hebrews 12, just read 1-3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who has endured such opposition from sinful men, so that we will not grow weary or lose heart.
And I've been listening to these testimonies, and I just want to say, the words of the Apostle Paul came into my mind. Consider what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Isn't that glorious, glorious revelation of the power of God to take broken lives like we've heard about tonight and make them brand new? That is an amazing thing. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to ask Linda McLean to come and share her testimony. Linda, come and share. We're almost done, folks. Please. I hope you're enjoying this as much as I am. I could stay here till midnight. Come on up, Linda, and share what the Lord's done in your life.
Those last two testimonies were pretty hard. Because I was there. I've been there, right along with Tammy. I was widowed 16 years ago. My husband died. died very suddenly one night. And I know God was with me all the time, but I didn't know that. I went to church. I went to the United Church, and that seemed to be okay. And I had known from when I was a kid that what Christmas stood for or what Easter stood for, but I didn't really understand it. And 8 years ago, it finally got through to me what it was all about. And God was right after me. It was like he was hounding me. For a period of about 2 months, it seemed like everywhere I turned, God was there. And he was just tweaking me with one thing and another. I went to the United Church, and there was a Pentecostal neighbor who was preaching that Sunday. And his message was, if you wish to see the kingdom of heaven, you have to be born again. And it just hit me. That's for me. That message is for me. And from that minute onward, it was just one thing after another. It was, somebody said something about Women of Faith Conference, so I was going to go there. Tammy never gave up on me, and what really encouraged me was that her life had so changed because she'd accepted God. It was just amazing what he'd done in her life. And that was an inspiration too. And I just, one night as I was listening to a program that she had put on for me, because she always put the Christian programs on and she always set my radio, she'd find a way to get into my car so she could turn the dial to a Christian radio station. So I'd drive home at midnight after watching the boys and all I could hear was Christian music. And it finally worked. I was watching a TV show and there was an evangelist on it. I was in. I just had to give my life to the Lord. I just had to. I was on my knees before I knew it and just submitting my life to him. And it was amazing. And it has been an amazing journey from that time onward. When I look back, I know he was always there. But since I've accepted him, it's been a journey, an amazing journey. I was able to forgive my father, which I tell you was extremely hard. But my son, my oldest son, has seen that, and he can't believe how Tammy and I have been able to forgive him for his indiscretion. And I hope one day he'll come to believe in God too and accept him as his Savior because of what he's seen with Tammy and I. Ever since I've come to this church, and God led me here too, he took me from where I was and he just sent me here. And from the minute I walked through those doors and Mary gave me my hug, I knew it was where I belonged. And 2 years ago I was baptized, but I wasn't really ready for membership yet. But in those last 2 years, I've seen how the people here have come alongside of us as a family and supported us, and how you loved us and showed us the love of God. And I'm just so grateful, and I want to serve the Lord through this body. And maybe we're believing that God is telling us to start a widow's or a single women's ministry. And we're going to attempt to do that. And we'll stumble for a while, but we believe it's the Lord's will. And that's one way that maybe I can help in this church. And any other way, I'm willing. I just, I'm praying that you will accept me as a member. Because this is where I need to be.
Bert and Sandy McDonnell, who are leaving for Haiti soon, will now come and share their testimony.
I get to go first. Thank you, Pastor Jacques. In the last few months, I've always been happy to hear every word that he speaks. It always speaks to my heart throughout the week, and it's been really neat to, even as he just took a time a couple of minutes ago and said, isn't it neat how God uses the week and I'm the week. So, I grew up in Whitby. I was the youngest of eight, six boys, one girl, and actually, my dad passed away at when I was 6 months old of a disease called silicosis to his lungs from his job. It was actually, in my family, there's 22 years from this difference between me and my oldest brother. And actually, the oldest four brothers and my actually brother-in-law at the time became my father figures. I grew up a Catholic church, went weekly, was taught. My mom was actually, she's only 5'2", and it was always amazed people how under her guidance and leadership she could run a ship of seven boys, I should say, and have full respect that we would basically bow down before her when she spoke. But she had the heart of gold, and she taught us, you know, all biblical practices, and it was quite humbling for me as I grew older with my own kids to realize that how much she had taught me. At the age of 14, because of my mom's health, it was recommended she go out to BC. I actually had three older brothers actually moved out there, and when she told us, I said, it's great to me. If I have to move, I might as well go to, you know, God's country, I called it. And very quickly I learned to spend a lot of time in nature, and that's where, if you want to say, God started really working on me. Between that and finally, after, you know, spending my whole life in the Catholic school, Catholic church, thinking the whole world was Catholic, I realized very quickly that there was only one school, and all the different denominations, it was the United Nations in our school. We had every religion and every country represented there. And through school, sports was where I excelled in, and that's what kept me in school. School and going, and very quickly I learned that, you know, my best friend, I mean, he was Catholic, but all my other friends were, we had Mormons, we had Jehovah's Witnesses, we had Baptists, we had Free Methodists, we had just about everything, and quite often we would discuss some of these topics, which, you know, always meant was kind of a battle of who really, if you want to say, owned the world at that time, but it never really amounted much, but it did get me thinking that there's more to this world. Through a few circumstances, I ended up coming back to Ontario, and I met Sandy. We started attending church at her. She went to a United Church. It was there I thought, hey, this isn't much different than what I'm used to. We went to Sandy's brother and sister were attending a Pentecostal church in Peterborough, and the Lord really started. We went there a few times, and then it was actually, just as what was said before, it was Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. It was actually her brother that was in the play, and it really hit me. The Lord had to, some people ask you, how does the Lord speak to you? And to me, it's visual all the time. And It was through that. Through that play that I decided that there's no way I wanted to go to hell. And it was, you know, when they asked to go forward, I think it was, it didn't take me much to get up there. I didn't know how fast I got up there, but I gave my heart to the Lord that night, and Zanny and I got married in a Christian, as Christians. We tried to find a church. We lived in Peterborough at the time, but there was not. It definitely tells you when you're searching for a church how you need a friendly church. And we were constantly, we'd go a couple of weeks, and then we'd try another one, go to another couple of weeks, and finally we were kind of put off, and we actually were led back to Curtis, and it was, I'm not sure exactly how it all happened, but we ended up attending a Free Methodist church, and I think it was more because we just had her daughter, and we decided that we were wanting to raise our kids in a Bible-believing church, and we were led to the Charles Road and began to work there. Annie will tell you her part of it, but I became involved in trustees. I became involved in many different ministries between, you know, the nursery, the youth, the children's ministries, building committees. Whatever I could serve, I was willing. And that was taught at an early age to give. But as lead up to our baptismal, I guess, we learned that even though I felt at one time that, you know, I was already baptized, but it was obedient if I was to be an adult. And we both talked about it, and we actually decided at that time our daughter Brittany wanted to too. And we asked Jordy if he wanted to, and he said, well, I'm not really ready, Dad. So we actually waited a couple of years, and it was two years later. I think it was Jordy who actually said, yeah, I think I'm ready. So we all took the plunge, as you would say. It was kind of, Jordy, as we were leading here, he reminded me of the joke that when he gave his testimony, he said that he's looking at me, he's already ducking down. I said it was it's really interesting how Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, and at that time I said it's kind of cool that Jordan was baptized into Jesus. So, and of course he got up there and he didn't know what to say, whatever my dad said. Anyways, I'd like to say that the path has always been easy. I've struggled hard to stay in the Word, and I've always tried to live a life of honesty and integrity and accountability. And the struggle I started having was all those: the honesty, the integrity, and it was really starting to become a burden in my life. And it's interesting that Pastor Jacques would say this morning what I said to Sandy, that I'm tired of playing church. I felt that even though that we were doing what the church asked us to do, and I felt I was doing what I wanted to do, I struggled with, is this what God really wants me to do? And even though I was on a missions trip earlier at that church and thought that's where I was called, I never went back. And different things led, and both of us decided to leave the church after 20 years, and we went around to different churches, and we did come here, and we realized that it was, as we looked at that time, it was a safe haven. It was a place that we could sit and start to really learn. So I'm thankful for that. Even though we were sometimes probably not seen here in the morning, we were actually attending two churches at the time. It was through a family friends function, I should say, that we were asked out of the ordinary whether I would go to Haiti on a missions trip, and we'd already prayed for that 8 months earlier, even before the earthquake, and that's where we felt called, but I had the opportunity to serve there, and that's where the Lord starts working. The drive was supposed to take an hour and a half to the site. It was 3 hours, and I was in tears. I could not believe the country that these people had to live in. I couldn't believe anything. It was just out of this world. And I didn't know what I was there for. And all that kept coming to me was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll make your path straight. Well, He began to make my path straight, all right. And I came back with just hoping that I could serve again. Sandy and I got to serve in Puerto Rico together. In January, we were called down again through, I could go on forever just telling you how it all happened, but I won't take that time. But it was just God's grace that led us back down there for 2 weeks. It ended up 3 weeks. And I was back 10 days, and I was asked to go again. And it's that time that God really met me. I can remember being there at 4:30 in the morning after seeing what I saw that day, and in tears, crying out to the Lord. I'm not a pastor. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a teacher. What do you want of me? And the answer was, you said you would serve me no matter what. Trust me. And I'll use you the way I want. I said, I will. Whatever you want, Lord. So as we came back and realized that that's where we were heading, and both of us could not believe it, and we talked to Pastor Jacques and Tatiana, it came to us to be obedient and, you know, to be members. They asked if we would, and I kind of thought, well, does it really matter whether we should be here, since we're probably going to be down there? And then I realized something over the last few months, and especially over the last few days, that I played on the soccer field, I played on the rugby field, I played on the football field. And God asked me that night, do you want to play in the mission field? We're both willing, and I'm thankful that Sandy's with me. But I realized one thing, that just like all those sports I just talked about, team sports. It's not individual, and I require a team behind me. You're my team.
Amen.
If you're willing.
Oh, brother. I praise God for a godly husband. I was raised in a loving home where we belonged and served in the United Church all my growing up and formative years. My dad worked hard, long hours. He was a businessman, but he always made sure we were at church on Sunday and involved. And Mom was right there along beside him and spent much of her years raising us. At 16, on a youth treat with a friend from Calvary Baptist, the Lord got a hold of my heart and I gave my life to Christ. I'd like to be able to say from there that my walk was one of steady growth, but I wavered a lot due to peer pressure. And I appreciate, you know, Sarah sharing and Cody, and it's tough. I know what you guys are going through.
actually, I was ready to head to OBC, which is now Tyndale, and I do believe Pastor Jacques and I would have been there the same year. but I turned away and headed to community college. Those weren't good years. I was involved in, I got involved in a lot of drinking, and just, again, due to peer pressure. But thankfully, God never leaves us or forsakes us. Through these years, that is when I met Bert, and like he shared, he gave his heart to the Lord, and I recommitted my life, and we became married in a Christian wedding ceremony. It was when Brittany was born that we made a decision that we should attend a church that preaches God's word and truth. We found a Bible-believing church in Curtis. We became members. We served for 20 years in various ministries. And as families, as Bert has already alluded to, we were baptized together through immersion in obedience to his commands. And that was a real joy to be able to do that as a family. However, it was during these years that God began to strip away. We had a family business that we had always counted on for our security for the future, and we lost that. Bert and I started a retail store from the ground up, and in some ways that had become my sense of identity. After 7 years of that, we decided that we would close it and move on. Shortly after that, I lost my dad to leukemia. And although that was a huge time of blessing in our life because we drew so close to the Lord, it was still another sense of loss. And then shortly after that, my dad passed away in August. In October, we sold our Century home where the store was located that we had poured so much of ourselves into. And that was, it was hard times. And then after all of that, we just faced tough challenges that brought us to a place of seeking a new church after serving 20 years in the church in Curtis. I can look back now and I can say with confidence Philippians 1:6, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. In 2 short weeks, Bert and I will leave all things familiar to serve for 6 months in Haiti on the mission field. It's not something I would have chosen at all. In my humanness, it would be the furthest thing from me. But God got a hold of our hearts, and when God places burdens on your heart, and that's the only way I can describe it, is a burden and just such a pull and draw to serve him, we knew we had to be obedient. And we had promised prior to that, when we were having such tough times at our other church, that we surrendered all to God. So I believe that God led us to Newcastle to be instructed further in his word through solid biblical teaching, both through preaching and our small group. After the message that Pastor Jacques preached this morning, it is with much joy that I can say I share in Christ's sufferings through a surrendered life into him. And as we continue to prepare to leave, we are grateful to be members of a church family that will be praying for us. Thank you.
Just a few more testimonies, and then we're going to baptize these believers. We're just going to ask the McConnell or McConnell family to come up, Fred and Sheila and Laura. I'm sorry, not McDonnell, but McConnell. And then right after them, we're going to ask Tony and Laura Merendino to come and share their testimonies. And then we're going to have the baptism.
Of course. Sorry. I didn't prepare any papers. I'm just going to tell a little bit about my life, and then Fred will finish off with that part. But when I was around 11 or 12, I was going to a Pentecostal church in Millbrook, and that's where I came to know the Lord. I had taken myself to church as I was growing up. My family didn't go to church, but they were a very moral family, very, very good, actually, and we were happy in that. And so, anyhow, the day at church, sorry, I can calm down now, okay? the pastor there, it seemed like I was sitting kind of in the middle part of it, and it just seemed like, okay, why isn't he looking at anybody else? He's just looking and talking to me. So I felt very, very, you know, that it was led for me, and he started doing an altar call. And in the background, there was the Pentecostal Bible camp were there, and they were, the choir was there, and they were singing, "I Wish We'd All Been Ready." And so he was talking to us during the altar call. He was saying how God called you so many times, and just, you know, for me, it was like, I already felt like led that I needed to go to the front, let alone him saying he only calls you so many times. And so I got up and went up to the front and accepted the Lord then. And I was baptized when I was around 23. After we had our first child, and my husband and I were baptized at the same time. And I'm nervous. Sorry. And the reason we came to the church was my daughter, she was married to Mark, and they lived in Bowenville, and she had talked to us about coming up to the church. She's, "Mom, you've got to hear of this pastor preach," she's saying. And so she had asked us different times that way, and so one time we decided that we'd come up, and we were here, and I heard him preach, and I turned, and I lost it. I just started crying. I said, okay, this is home. This felt like home, and it hadn't felt like home in a church for a long, long time that we were in. So I feel that this is for us. This is where, and we have a lot of children that I'm responsible for. We do fostering and that, and I really feel that with your help, and with your help, I believe, that we'll be able to bring them up and get them saved and get him to know you too. So him. Thank you.
Well, I'm going to start off where Sheila ended up talking about the fellowship here, and it's just so genuine here. I mean, just the testimonies that we've heard tonight has just been overwhelming. But anyway, once again, it was through Candace and Mark that we started coming here, and I mean, Pastor Jock's preaching was just amazing, and then followed by Pastor Noel. I mean, we're blessed with two amazing preachers. And I think one of the other things that really hit home there just last week was Nathan and Josh. And my wife and kids were saying, boy, they sure love their dad. And I thought, wow, that is amazing. I hope my kids, and I know it's a lot of work I have to do to make them or get them to love me as much as your boys love you and their mom. I think it's amazing. We started coming, like I said, because of Candace and Mark. And like on our, like Sheila says, on our first visit here, hearing the preaching, it was when I first came to know the Lord, it was just so exciting, and well, it was just amazing. And the dedication of the different leaders here, like John, and I don't know everybody's names yet, but from the adult teachers that we've heard, I mean, they're so genuine and caring and loving, and you know, they're willing to listen to questions we have, or you know, some maybe there's silly answers that we have sometimes to their questions. But and Friday night coming here to the youth group, you know, how many people give up a Friday night to look after a bunch of kids and not even care what time the kids leave, you know? I think that's amazing. 10 o'clock at night, and, you know, not too many churches, not too many leaders want that. Your kids are going to be there at 8 o'clock, and, you know, they want you there at 8 o'clock, too, as soon as it's over. And I think that really hit home to me. But anyway, those are some of the reasons we'd love to become members of this church. Now I'm going to tell you a little bit about my life. Okay. Dry. I was raised in a non-Christian home, but very loving home. I would say my life as a child was one of a spoiled brat. My mom died when I was four, and my dad, older brothers, and neighbors seemed to feel sorry for me and spoiled me continually. Even as a teenager, life was good. I started dating Sheila when I was 16 and she was 14, and we went through teenage years together. We had family get-togethers that Sheila and I would get to go to as a couple. And we went to youth groups, and I heard youth groups, because I wasn't saved at that time. It was quite a few years later I did get saved. But we kept each other from trouble. I would have the gospel message back then. I would hear it so many times back then, but I felt it did not need God. I was good. I thought my good deeds would outweigh my bad, and besides, I was too young to think about death. I was too young to think about salvation. But you know what? Healthy guy, invincible. At 19, I started working at GM. Very blessed to work there, but I became even a more spoiled person. Along with being spoiled, I became materialistic. You know, the money bought me things of this world. At 23, Sheila and I were married, and life was still great. I mean, at this time, I still wasn't looking for God, even though he was knocking on my door at different times. As years went along, I decided to run as a union rep at GM. I was elected, and that seemed to be the, I call it the downward spiral in my life, but actually it wasn't the downward spiral, because it might have been where all once my life started looking a different way. I stopped looking at materialistic stuff in life and started realizing, hey, you know what? There's something else. But anyway, it was the one time in my life that I really hated working at GM. I hated it. I didn't like the union rep. It was a lonely position. You couldn't really be friends with people, because I thought if you were friends with them, you might have favoritism towards them. I didn't hang around with the company because I was a union guy. So it was a lonely spot. I think that's from the time in my life where I started actually searching and thinking, well, there's got to be more to life than this. I mean, I'm realizing that, you know, where are my friends? Like, you know, I've got a different position. Now it seems like I'm a lonely guy. At this time, it just seemed like a lot of Christians were starting to nag me as well. I was hearing the word and started to listen a bit more. I had a sister-in-law that had become a Christian, and really at that time a lot of my family had become Christians, but she was always seemed to be at that time nagging me. The Christian guys at work, of course, they were always talking to me, and I really wasn't wanting to listen to them. But then as I got a little more lonely and started to spend time by myself, I started reading some of these tracts that they handed out. And then I started realizing these tracts had truth in them. And the funny thing was, they had truth. They were backed up by what the Bible says, but I didn't believe the Bible. But then, you know, I started thinking, okay, the Bible is God's word. The tracts tell me truth. There's got to be truth in here. So anyway, this was actually the start of things changing. What happened next, I will never forget. Even though it was a dream, it was so real, and it was a continuing dream. My dream was about a school bus coming up our road with destination Hell Road on it. It was picking up my neighbors and coming for me. I was being convicted, but still being too stubborn. Next thing that happened was real. The other was a dream. This was real. I was driving home from work, driving down County Road 9 besides Kirby Ski Hill on my motorcycle. I decided to see how fast my motorcycle would go. And I wasn't a fast driver normally, so I was okay there. So anyway, I was going over 100 miles per hour the last time I looked at the speedometer, and all at once I went into a speed wobble. Anybody's ever drove a motorcycle, a speed wobble is when you feel like your front tire is falling off. And that was the first time at that moment that I said, Lord, help me. And I no sooner got the words out of my mouth, he helped me. It was a miracle. The bike slowed down, and I've talked to people since, and they said normally it doesn't happen. You usually wipe out, but the bike slowed down, straightened out, and that was great. I know there had to be a lot of people praying for me during these years, but finally I realized how I needed Jesus in my life, and that as a sinner, I needed a Savior. Shortly after that, I said the sinner's prayer through the leading of my sister-in-law. I cannot even think of going through life without Jesus Christ. I am no longer hounded by that scary dream that stopped after I became a Christian. We have gone through a lot of trials, but Jesus has always been faithful and been there as a loving Father who cares for his children. Thank you.
My mom and my dad, obviously.
And I'm Laura. And I had the blessing of being born into a Christian family, and at the age of 4, I asked Jesus into my heart. I went to a Christian school where God was talked about freely. I had it at home, had it at church, heard about Jesus all the time. So I made that decision at 4 and was baptized when I was 9. I have had struggles, but I'm not going to go over all of them today because I won't make it through it. But definitely with praying parents and God showing me the way through it, I made it through, and I'm very thankful for that. And I'd like the honor of becoming a member of an SBC because I feel like this is home, where God has placed me in order to be fed the word and to grow in him. I agree with the doctrine of the church and believe that it's important for every Christian to be a member of a church, as we need to be accountable to each other. The Bible speaks about the importance of elders caring for their own flock. 1 Peter 5, verse 2-3 states, "Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." These verses clearly state that elders are responsible for leading the flock. The elders know whom they are responsible for because of church membership.
Praise God. One more family, Tony and Laura, come and share.
Hi. Okay, my shadow has stayed in the chair. Good. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Laura Marandino. This is my husband, Tony. And we moved to Canada 3.5 years ago from the States, and we've been attending this church for the past 2 years, thanks to the invitation of Deb Heron. Most of you know me as a Christian homeschool mom, but there really is no logical way to explain how I ended up this way. I was the firstborn of a young hippie couple. My dad was a musician and a drug addict. My mom was 18. She always told me I was an accident. And I was very comforted to learn as an adult that God creates all life and that I really wasn't an accident. So, needless to say, we were not a church-going family. So how did I get to hear the good news? My first encounter with Jesus was actually through TV. I watched the Jesus of Nazareth movie when I was 6. And with that limited exposure, I became aware of the existence of God. However, being a child in a Bible-less home, I was quite ignorant of God's word, and having such permissive parents, I was not even aware what sin was or its dangerous consequences. With parents who didn't care much about establishing rules or boundaries, there was anarchy in our family. And after a huge fight with my mom, I was thrown out of my home at 15. I lived with several different friends until I graduated from high school in 1989. And that winter, I joined the Marine Corps in hope of a better life. I had a neck injury in training, and I was sent home from boot camp. After returning to Florida and needing money quickly to support myself, I got a job as a waitress in a nightclub while I went to college for a year. Not letting go of that dream or for a better life, or I just really missed my M16. I re-enlisted in the Marine Corps again. This time, my feet could not make the adjustment from high heels to combat boots, and they caused me to be unable to complete my training. Now I look back, and I see this was a huge blessing, because had I completed boot camp, I would have been sent to the Gulf War. And if I had died, I would have went right to hell, because I did not receive God's gift of salvation at that point. When I was 23, God used the TV once again, this time to bring me to my knees. I was watching a documentary about the end times, and it scared me so much, I actually prayed. I wanted to know if what I saw was really going to happen one day, and so I prayed and asked God to please show me the truth. And the very next day at work, a stranger came up to me and handed me a Bible. I began Genesis, and I read it every chance I could. And I can't say I understood it all or that I became fully committed to God at this point, but my heart was open and I was very interested. Before Tony and I were married, he's Italian and he was brought up in the Catholic Church, we were required to attend Mass. I was not comfortable in that church because I found it was practicing things that the Bible said not to do, like praying to Mary and other saints. But my husband was not willing to leave the church of his youth, so we continued to go. I kept reading and sharing God's word with Tony, and 3 years later, my boss gave me a tape of a sermon from her church. My husband and I listened to it on a road trip, and we learned more in that 1 hour than we had in 3 years at the Catholic Church. Tony was finally willing to go to another church, and so we visited the church from the tape. Our starving souls were finally fed and growing stronger after every sermon. We now fully understood our need to be rescued, and we were so overjoyed when we learned John 3:17, not the one we all know all the time, but for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Tony and I both happily surrendered our hearts to Jesus, and we were so grateful to have him as our Lord and Savior. 2 years later, with a baby in my arms and a toddler in Tony's, we were baptized in a Florida lake in the year 2000. Ever since then, God has been molding and shaping our lives and so that we can grow to be more like his Son. He took my self-centered heart and made it care for strangers on the other side of the world. He replaced my fear with faith. He changed the way I talked, the way I dressed, and even the movies and music that we once enjoyed now appeared to be nothing more than glorified sin. He was lovingly pruning away the worldliness and directing us to live holy lives that looked a lot different from who we were. God's word says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I am here to testify that his word is true. Thank you. And why we want to, why I want to become a member here is the truth is taught in love here. There's warmth here. Tatiana is such a warm and loving person. We came from a church in Florida of over 20,000 people, and we never had access to our pastor, much less that they would know our children's names. So that really gave us a sense of belonging that we were looking for. I have to say I was really impressed with the youth in this church. Being a homeschool mom, I've kind of sheltered my kids and been very selective of who they would spend time with. And when I heard their testimonies coming back from a mission trip, I was like, wow, I want my daughters to be friends with these people and grow up with them as their role models. We just want to also take a more active role in ministry instead of just being takers, but to also be givers by serving. Thank you.
Well, I'm the last one, so I'll try to make it short. I don't know if I can. As Laura told you, I was raised in a Catholic home. I went to a Catholic church all my life, Catholic elementary school, Catholic high school, even the medical school I went to was Catholic. But I had no relationship with God. As a matter of fact, when I was young, my sister and I were sent to church by ourselves. We'd go in one door, grab the newsletter, go out the other door, go to the candy store, and wait till everyone got out, and we went home. So we actually cut church. I don't know if anyone ever did that before. But, so as time went on, again, I had no relationship with God. It was just, you know, religion, not relationship. My life was all about me. You know, I was going to go to medical school, and there was a lot of pride, arrogance, and the focus was just on me. I had no concern about really anybody else but myself. And then Laura and I got married, and she was given the Bible. She started to read the Bible. I'm like, oh, I'm Catholic. I don't need that. But she kept reading to me and reading to me and reading to me, and it kept convicting me, but I still was holding on to that Catholic religion that I grew up with. I couldn't believe that I was seeing this God, but I didn't want to let go and really offend my mother. That's what it came down to. I didn't want to offend my mother. And then one day she got that tape, and we looked at that tape, and I couldn't believe how much I learned in that one tape. I said, okay, I'll go to this church, but if they ask for money, we're leaving. So I even went in with a hard heart. And then I heard that sermon, and I just couldn't believe it. All those years in a faithless relationship, really no relationship with God, and here God was presented to me, and I so wanted to know him. So we got involved, and we went to the church, and I think within about 3 months in, we gave our life to the Lord. One verse stood out to me. John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. So that was the only way. And either I accepted it or rejected it. So we accepted it. And we were baptized, as Laura said. One thing she forgot to tell you is the pastor said, don't put your kids in this water. There's a lot of sin in here. So, because a lot of people got baptized that day. So we kept our kids out. Anyway, I got great. I'm saved. Everything's wonderful. But of course, God has other plans. So about 2 years into our, once we got saved and baptized, God started to call us to Tennessee. And I was in practice in Florida with my cousin who wasn't saved. And I'm like, I'm not going to Tennessee. And God kept calling me and showing me signs to move to Tennessee. And I was, no way. I don't know anyone in Tennessee. I don't have any family in Tennessee. I'm not moving to Tennessee. So God kept calling and calling and showing me signs. It was about 2 years. And then Laura one day turned to me and goes, you know, you're Jonah. And I went, oh my goodness, I'm Jonah. So the next day, I got up and I prayed. I said, Lord, you show me 3 signs today, and I'll go. I was really trying to fight this. So, of course, I went to work, and on my way home, by the time I got home, he showed me 2 signs. So I went in, I closed the door of my house, and I said, you're not showing me another sign. I will not turn the TV on. I won't take a phone call. I am not going to see another sign for Tennessee. Well, foolish me. About 8 o'clock at night, I said, well, I watch Fox News. I'm just going to turn the news on. I never hear Tennessee. I'm not going to hear that. I won't even watch commercials. So I turned the TV on. Of course, the third word out of the reporter's mouth is Tennessee, and the whole story is about Tennessee. And I put my head down and said, you really want me to go to Tennessee, don't you? So I said, fine, I'm going to go to Tennessee, but I'm going to find a job. So I told my partner that I'm leaving the practice. I'm giving it to him. I didn't even want anything for it. And I'm going to go, I'm going to find a job in Tennessee, and I'm going to leave. Well, I found a job in Tennessee. I went to Tennessee and brought my wife up. And while we're up there, looking at, interviewing at the job and looking for a house, well, a hurricane came. And actually, we saw it on TV before we went, and it went south of Florida. I'm like, okay. And then we come back to our hotel Sunday evening, and I never saw a hurricane do this. It actually made a U-turn in the Gulf of Mexico, and the eye went over where we lived. And we're like, whoa. So we got on our knees and we prayed, Lord, if you really want us to come to Tennessee, protect our home. Well, the next morning we called my family, our neighbors, how is everybody? And they all told us that the area is destroyed. It's like complete destruction. Roofs are gone. Houses are gone. I asked my neighbor who lives right next door, how's my house? And he said, I don't know. I said, you can't look outside and see. He goes, it's that bad. I don't know how your house is. So I called a friend of mine and I said, we don't even know if we have a house to come back to. Can you please take a trip out to my home and see if it's okay? Well, 6 hours later, he called me and said, Tony was like, God sent angels around your house. Your house is untouched. He goes, your neighbor's house is destroyed. He goes, but your house is untouched. And I was like, thank you, Lord. So we were supposed to fly back on Monday. We flew back on Friday. We drove into our house, and it was nighttime, and I don't know if you've ever been in an area that was like a disaster area, but there was no lights anywhere. The only 2 traffic lights that worked when we were driving home had generators chained to the poles. They're running up generators. But we got home and lights were on. And the next morning I woke up and I didn't have 1 shingle off the roof of my house. Everybody's house around us had blue tarps. There was screen patios gone. We had 1 ripped screen. The Lord is just awesome. So he confirmed to me that he wanted us to go. But he wasn't done yet. Because my plans had changed. The job fell through. And now, I was going to move to Tennessee with no job. And no form of income at all. No family, no friends. Just because the Lord called me to do it. And I heard the Lord say to me, do you trust me? So I said, okay, Lord, I trust you. Now, my mom thought I was insane. I was giving up my practice. Sold my house, moving to a place I didn't know anybody with no job. But I told her I was trusting the Lord. Well, I went to Tennessee. We all went. 2 months I wasn't working. And I prayed. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do here? Strange, but he said, real estate. I'm like, real estate? I'm a doctor. Why do you want me to do real estate? So I picked up the phone on a Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock after I looked online to see if there's any schools close by, and there was a real estate school close by, and I called them. I said, I'm interested in real estate. How long does it take? She said, 3 weeks. I'm like, that's not bad. So I go, when's the next class? She goes, actually, there's one on Monday, and we have an opening. I said, great. So then I came downstairs and said, guess what? I'm going to be a realtor. My wife's like, what? She said, okay. So I got into real estate. I went to a real estate office. And I met the lady, and she says, why do you want to hang your license here? And I told her, and she says, well, how long are you a realtor? And I said, about, you know, a couple hours. She said, well, what brought you here? And I told her my story. I left. She called me. She said, the Lord wants me to take care of you. Come here tomorrow. Hang your license. I'm going to list a home with you. She goes, my daughter's a realtor, and I didn't even do this with her. So I listed a home with her. And in a few days, the home sold. She gave me half the commission. And then after that, I sold one home after another home after another home. And the agents who were in this business for 20 years are going, what are you doing? And I said, I'm a podiatrist. I go, this is all God. I have nothing to do with this. So they were like, they couldn't believe it. And God was just blessing me. But the greatest thing is I was driving people around. And the great question that they all ask me is, well, how long are you doing this for? Great opportunity to share my testimony about what God was doing in my life. So it took me 2 years to respond to that calling by God to go to Tennessee. Well, 3.5 years later, he called us to Canada. And my wife, who likes Canada now, was on her knees praying, not Canada, Lord, anywhere but Canada. So, of course, it's cold. So God opened the door to Canada. It didn't take me 2 years. It took me about a month to say yes, and we're going to come. And call my mom again and thinking, oh boy, here we go. Leaving the country now. And I said, well, God's calling me to Canada, and we're going to move. And my mom said, well, he blessed you before. I'm sure he'll bless you again. And I was completely shocked. I said, wow. She was kind of upset that we left the Catholic Church. And we've been here in Canada for about 3.5 years now, two years here. And we feel like we're part of the family here now. And we've been enjoying the benefits of being a family member, but not really taking on any of the responsibility. So now Laura and I really want to become members to take on some of that responsibility of being a family member. Okay? I just... Yeah. You'll be very sorry you asked me to do that. And I'll come to prove it to you. But I want to read one verse. Okay, my wife wants to let you know that the people who did buy our house in Florida were from the town we were moving to in Tennessee. But I just want to read a verse that is on my heart and just encourages me. And that is, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Thank you very much.
I know it's been a long night, but I just want to say thank you to every single person who share their testimonies tonight. And I just want to thank God for what He's done. Let me just share just two thoughts before we move into our baptismal service, because I want to make it very clear that what we're going to see here in the next few minutes does not save anybody. These people that are being baptized are already saved. In fact, the Bible teaches us in the New Testament that only believers in Jesus Christ are the ones who get baptized. You see that in the Great Commission. Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's believers who are baptized. You see that with the 3,000 at Pentecost. They accept the Lord, they get baptized. The Samaritan converts, you see that with Simon the Sorcerer, the Ethiopian eunuch, Saul of Tarsus. The list goes on and on and on. Believers get baptized. Unbelievers are not baptized. In the New Testament, the proper mode of baptism is baptism by immersion. I'm convinced of that. Why is that so important? Because
The actual word that's used in the New Testament for baptize means to immerse. It means to submerge something. And second, we practice baptism by immersion because that's exactly how the apostles baptized. They baptized converts by immersion. And thirdly, we immerse because it is the perfect picture of what has happened to us in Jesus Christ. When you see these people get baptized, as they go into the water, it's a picture and a symbol of the fact that they have died to their old lives. Their old lives is buried in Christ, and they've been raised to new life to follow Jesus Christ. And these four people are going to be doing that at this point in time. So Cody, I want you to come up first. Seeing that you're coming into membership, just come on in here, buddy. I'm going to ask each candidate a few questions, and as I ask them these questions, they're going to give a response, and then I'm going to baptize them. Cody, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He came into this world, born of the Virgin Mary, lived a sinless life, died upon the cross for sinners, for our sins, and that He was raised again on the third day? Do you believe that?
Yes, I do.
Have you personally trusted Jesus Christ alone as your only Lord and Savior?
Yes, I have.
Is your desire to follow Christ all the days of your life and live a life that is pleasing to God?
Every day.
Then upon your profession of faith, Cody, and in obedience to Christ's commandment, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Shamala. Praise God. Thank you, Shamala. I'm just amazed as we baptize these people to remember what you heard in terms of how the Lord saved them, how the Lord brought them to Himself. Shamala, how He saved out of a life of Hinduism to come to the only one who could save her soul from sin and its penalty. Shamala, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died on the cross for our sins and He was buried and rose again on the third day? Have you trusted Christ alone to save you from your sins? Is your desire to follow Jesus all the days of your life and live a life that is pleasing to God? And upon your profession of faith, Shamala, in obedience to Christ's commandment, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. A little girl who was saved and so convicted of sin just a little while ago, a little young child so convicted of sin, realizing that she needed a Savior. It's not only older people who understand these things. God works in the hearts of young people like this and shows them their need for Christ. It's a glorious thing. Megan, do you believe that Jesus is God's Son and that He was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, and died upon the cross for our sins, and He rose again on the third day? Have you personally asked Jesus to save you?
Yes.
Is it your desire to follow Christ all the days of your life and live a life that's pleasing to God?
Yes.
Then upon your profession of faith and in obedience to Christ's commandment, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise God. Amen. There you go, Peter. Praise God. Amen. There you go, sweetie. Now one more. Isabel, as I was talking with Isabel just a couple of days ago, as she was sharing with me her testimony, I was so impressed. I have to tell you, I was so impressed to listen to how the Lord worked in this young lady's life. I was blessed. I walked out of the office and as she was leaving, and I said to Marcy, I've interviewed a lot of people for baptism, but I don't think I've been as blessed as I was to have listened to this young lady in my office tell me of how God saved her. So Isabel, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died on the cross for our sins and He was buried and rose again on the third day?
Yes, absolutely.
Have you personally trusted Christ alone to save you from your sins?
Yes.
Is it your desire to follow Jesus all the days of your life and live a life that's pleasing to God?
than upon your profession of faith and in obedience to his commandment. I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to ask the worship team to come and just close with one final song. If you all want to stand as we sing one more song. Service. I'm going to ask all those who are coming into membership at this time to come and stand in the front. I'm just going to read your names out. If you could come and just face the congregation. If I could have David and Daisy Ross and Emery and Mary Kovac and Kevin Gabriel, Kathleen Hepworth and Sarah Penny, Andy and Tammy Taylor, Linda McLean, Sandy and Bert McDonnell, Fred and Sheila, and Laura McConnell, and Tony and Laura Marandino, if you could all come and stand and face the congregation. I'm going to ask the members of Newcastle Fellowship Baptist Church alone. You have heard their testimonies. You've heard the fact that God has saved these individuals. You've also heard the fact that they have followed the Lord in the waters of baptism. I'm going to ask you, just the members of Newcastle Fellowship Baptist Church, if you would stand with me. And if you could show by
a raised hand whether you will accept these people into our membership to work with us in Christ. Amen. To God be the glory and the praise. Please welcome into membership these people who have served the Lord together. Let's just pray together and close our service off tonight and just ask the Lord and thank Him for His blessing. Father, we want to thank You tonight. We know it's been a long night, but Father, it has been a good night in Your house. We thank You for how You sovereignly worked in each one of these lives, bringing each person to the foot of the cross where they looked to Jesus to save them. Father, thank You, Lord, for keeping these saints. And we now pray, Lord God, as they join us in serving You in this place, in this community, that You would use each one of these lives to spread the gospel of Christ. Father, fill them with Your grace. Use them for Your glory. I pray that they would only help this ministry become even a better place to serve Jesus. We thank You and praise You, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you, folks, and thank you so much for coming.